This is a Gathering Heritage project interview recorded in County Louth in Ireland.
Now, I'd like to welcome Patsy Rogers to our Gathering Heritage project. And Patsy, we're going to talk to you about music, because Dundalk was a great town over the years, long before you got involved in music, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, Dundalk. Annie, first of all, Harry, delighted to be with you here.
Thanks.
Great for a wee bit of crack. Dundalk was always a great town for music. And from the early days, you're talking here when the Beatles arrived on the scene, so I think it took the town and the country and the world by storm. And everybody in Dundalk, anyone who was 15 or 16 wanted to be John Lennon or Paul McCartney or Ringo or George Harrison. I remember too that in Mulhern's shoe shop, they took in the Beatle boots, and so everybody bought the Beatle boots. My mother was paying a week on them, you know. But we thought, when you had that money, you thought you were John Lennon walking down the town.
And Patsy, when was the show band years? When was that before the Beatles?
Yeah, well, the show band was before the Beatles. When the Beatles came in, they came in around 62, 63. Then the band started fading out around that time, you know.
Yeah. And did any of the musicians who was playing in the show bands, because there were some brilliant show bands, did they get involved in groups, or did they keep playing? Was the clubs we're going to be talking about in a minute, were they on at the same time as they were fading out the show bands?
Well, you see, I think when the show bands seen that the scene was slipping away from the bands, the rhythm sections of the show bands, They drop the brass, and that's where you start finding the groups coming from. They started and just going as maybe a four piece or a five piece.
Right. Now, all I can remember about the show bands and it was a place like the Pavilion. But how did the clubs start, Patsy? I mean, who decided we're going to have... Were they called nightclubs or just clubs?
No, they were called Beat Clubs. And I think it came from the name The Beatles and the Beat Music and then the Beat Clubs. Now, the Beat Clubs, the best club around the town was the Cavalier Club on the Ramparts. And it was like... It was like something like the Cavern in Liverpool. It was dark and not sleazy, but dark and give a great atmosphere.
So completely different to anything that anyone ever saw.
And that's where you had the groups in there playing.
Who owned that?
O'Hagan's.
Of course, they owned the ramp.
But it wasn't them that was running it. There was two brothers from Dublin. They were running it.
Were they ahead of their time, those two
brothers? They were. They were really ahead of their time. They got in... they had a couple of clubs in Dublin. They owned a couple of clubs in Mount Marion, and they owned also another club in O'Connell Street. And they were well into the... And they felt that Dundalk was a place for maybe a beat club.
Can you remember or have any idea about how much it was in the admission around that time?
I think it was, I have clips of the old papers. I think it was 2 and 6, 2 shillings. It all depends on who was the biggest group, and it was dearer into the other things than it was.
And was there drinking in those clubs?
No, just orange. No, there was no drink.
And was that something, there was no drink in any of the clubs?
No, well...
I have this thing in my head that you're going to be talking to me about sleazy places. But they were dark, but not sleazy.
No, well, there was drink all right, but you couldn't buy it. I don't think it changed up to the day, but
the bouncers at them?
Yeah, in the Cavalier Club there was bouncers. There had to be bouncers in there, because there was a couple of hundred people who would be at that. In the Cavalier Club, you know, that was around about 1965, I think. 65.
So it was the first one there.
Well, it was the first one here in. Well, it was the biggest one in the town.
What other ones opened then, and were there anyone locally involved in owning any of them?
Well, you see, when that when that opened up there, you had a load of young bands, young groups wanting to get on the scene. Because when the band split up, you had the rhythm sections of the bands and they were starting to play. But I think the boys in the bands would have been older guys. So the likes of us, we were 15, 16, we all decided, you know, we want to get into this too. So we let our hairs grow and torn jeans.
And we was popular with that kind of outfits.
Yeah. Yeah, the Other Things was definitely the most popular band.
Was the money good at the musicians?
It would cost you money, of course. But you had...
It didn't make any difference.
Made no difference. I seen us... when you see, you had the Other Things and you had the JDs and the Yobs, the Firing Squad, the Outer Limits, the Times, the Reformation and the Revelations. Like, they were a gang of all young guys.
And these were all Dundalk young chaps.
Young chaps. And to this day, there's some of them has passed away, some of the boys. But to this day, all great friends, still never changed. Still their buddies, you know.
And Patsy, how many you've named them off very quickly there? Yeah. But other than the Cavalier, which one was the most popular, or where were they situated?
Well, the Cavalier was on the Rampart River, well, off the Rampart River, you know. And as I just told you there, it was the biggest one. It was the biggest, probably one of the biggest clubs in Ireland. It was probably, and. It was, as I said, yeah, it was like something like the Cavern. Everybody wanted to play in there, you know. We were lucky. We got playing in it and we were doing well. And we got on well with the two guys that owned it. And they allowed us to rehearse in it. So we had an upper hand. And we had a great inning into it, you know.
It was like rehearsing in Wembley.
Yeah, yeah, it was. We were able to rehearse and play in it, you know.
But so what about the ordinary little clubs? You mentioned a few of them there.
When you see, then you went out to Lisdoo, and you had the Ranch.
Where was the Ranch?
The Ranch is just up from the Lisdoo Arms, out the Armagh Road, just a little bit out there. We call it the Ranch, but the club called it Club Royale.
Oh, that was very posh.
They have a nice name on it, but we call it the Ranch, you know. And it was a very popular club. And you not only had you the bands from Dundalk, but you had a few bands who come up from Newry that would play in it, you know. It wasn't a very big club, but to us, they were super places, because you did not make this, you know.
And was it real cool, like, were you the man about town kind of, all the girls running after you and stuff?
Yeah, well, the thing is, Harry, if you weren't in there early, you didn't get in. That's the way it was. It was packed. And the band, there was no back doors into the back. So you had to take the gear through maybe a couple of hundred screaming young girls.
Well, it must have been awful for you.
But yeah, no, the Ranch, the Club Royale, out by the Lisdoo, that would be all in competition with one another. And then you could move on to there. Then you had Club Valentino.
Which, where was that?
Club Valentino was up Joe McIntyre's yard, up behind.
Oh, where the Joe's Boys Club was?
Yeah. A well-known guy called Owen Gray.
Owen involved.
Owen ran that club, you know.
And Patsy, were they? How many would have that held in comparison to the Afton?
Well, they would all be around. Like, the Afton club would have held, I think. Well, the Cavalier club would have held about 400 or 500 people. Club Valentino, I was never really in it, playing in it, but I would say it's about 200 people, you know.
And the Border Legion Football Club, how did they own a club?
I don't know now. The Border Legion, I don't know where that came from, the Border Legions. That's the that's supposed to be out by the Ranch. That's supposed to be...
And it wasn't the Ranch, no? It wasn't the Ranch.
Well, we called it the Ranch, but it was also known as Club Royale. Now, maybe the Border Legions Football Club played in it, you know.
Yeah.
Used as their changing room or something, you know.
Now, there was then in those are new ones like the ones you've just said, but there was halls then like the Magnet, for instance.
Yeah,
now.
The Magnet. Well, it was called St Patrick's Hall. You know, it was called St Patrick's Hall, but I don't know whether it was us to call it the Magnet Beat Club, but somebody. It was called the Magnet Beat Club.
And was that upstairs, was it?
Upstairs, yeah. It sounded better than St. Patrick's Hall, the Magnet Beat Club.
And did it go well? Like, was it popular? Great,
yeah. Yeah, you had a... Like, it's strange talking about it, but you had queues going up the stairs waiting on the doors to open. You talk about the day and people wouldn't believe you. Yeah. But there was queues outside waiting for the doors to open.
And what nights, was it only weekends or were they on Friday during the...
Friday and Saturday, maybe Sunday nights, you know. Yeah.
So, is there any other ones there now? That
yeah, well, there was a local chap who used to look after the bands up in the Magnet, Frank Duffy. He used to book the bands up there, you know. Frank was a great character, you know. And but as I said, all full houses. And then you go down the Ramparts again and you had the Badminton Beat Club.
Well, that's where the tennis club is.
Yeah, there was a club down there too. Again, we were one of the bands that wasn't we weren't allowed in there either.
I'm interviewing a good man who was barred from a load of the clubs.
Again, we weren't allowed in, not because it was that. We would have been sort of Rolling Stones, Beatles band, Kinks, long hair.
And were you trying to be like them?
We thought we were them. That's what it was, Harry. But we had long hair and torn jeans, and that wasn't going down well with the people.
And who was the rest of them in the band?
There was Sean McKeever, another long hair lover. Yeah. There was Mickey Kelly, Eamon and Pat Buchanan. That was the five, you know.
And Patsy, they got together, didn't they? And they were able to interchange and everything with other groups and that, didn't they?
So yeah, like I remember, like I was talking to Sean there recently, and we were trying to find out how do we ever meet as 15-year-olds, like. I come from Hill Street and Sean came from Fadamory Park. So we're trying to figure out, how do we get down? How do we meet like this, you know? But it ended up that we were in Benny Maguire's. It used to be a pub. But he had a loft at the back. And we were down there rehearsing. We thought we were great, but we were rehearsing. And that's where we met Sean McKeever. And we actually have a photograph taken of me and Sean, and that had to be 1964, maybe 63, 64, just me and Sean as the start of the Other Things. And that's, yeah. we have a photograph from Benny McGuire.
And Patsy, was any of them at this stage, now at the beginning there you said that you would have played for nothing, but did money come into it in a big way when all these clubs took off?
Well, with us at the time, and all the bands around the town, all the young groups, it wasn't about money. You wanted to be like the Beatles.
But were you paid?
Oh, you were paid, but sure, we thought you were getting a few pounds, Sean.
I don't know, I'm just wondering, how did all these groups learn how to play? I mean, they didn't go to school and learn how to play drums like you did, no. They just come naturally to you,
or just self-taught, most of the boys, you know, most of them of the boys was self-taught, you know, just taught themselves, picked them up and got going, and you got your drummers and you got your guitar player and bass player and you had your singers.
So, Patsy, at this particular stage in time now, the show bands were gone completely.
Yeah, well, the show bands were gone, like, you know, and it was become all the groups, and, like, you had, like, people don't understand who played, when you go back to the Cavalier Club, who played in there. Like, people don't realise that you had Bill Haley and the Comets.
Oh, did groups? Oh, I didn't realise that. Right.
Bill Haley and the Comets came down there. You had a super band from England who were great friends with the Who, Next in Line, and they came over from England and they played in it. And you had Gary Moore, he played in it. You had Rory Gallagher and Taste. This was before they became huge, but they were just like ourselves, just ordinary young guys playing. Tin Lizzy, Phil Lynott. Boys.
Those two fellas who owned it had some idea. They must have been brilliant.
Well, yeah, they had all the connections. Like they knew everybody. Yeah, like, you know. Yeah.
And then would it be dearer into when dearer, those groups?
You had Henry McCullough. People might say, "Who's Henry McCullough?" Well, Henry McCullough went on to play with. He came from a band in Dublin called Some People. Or the people, I'm not sure whether it was Some People or the people, but he went on to play then with Paul McCartney and Wings, you know. So there's some stories behind the whole scene there.
Was it only though in that club, which was the biggest one, the other clubs didn't get guests?
No, they played, the ones I mentioned there nearly all played. There might be, they nearly all at one time or another, they played, you know, in the Cavalier Club, you know.
So when you, Patsy, look back now on it, like, there were completely different times to the times when I used to go to dances, which was the 50s and the late 50s, you know, and I'm not quite sure whether I would have liked fellas coming in with jeans and long hair like yourselves, because, you know, it was a hell of a change from the lovely clean image that the show bands had.
I think that's what happened, Harry, because we decided, like, they're going around now paying a fortune for these torn jeans today, and yet you're talking about 65, 66, we were doing it, but we were doing it with a broken bottle, tearing the knee out, like, you know.
Why did you copy somebody?
I don't remember copying anybody. I don't remember anyone on like that. I don't remember, like, the Beatles wasn't like that, you know, or the Kinks. I don't know whether the Stones were coming out with something like that. I'm not sure.
How long, Patsy, did the was it at its height for how long, and when did it start fading? Because a lot of the groups that you're talking about got together and changed names, and what do you call it, mix and match kind of thing.
We're changing around. I suppose it lasted for about four years, I think, up to about 69. It's the beat scene that we knew as we knew. I think the music started slipping into the discos, started coming around, and then the music in the pubs started coming around. So then the group start playing in the pubs where you go in and buy a drink and sit down, and that's when it all changed.
So did they all close together, or when it started easing off, or did gradually, like at one time there was all of these at the one time going?
Oh yeah, they're all going at one time, and then they just start. I think when the Beatles split around the 69, 70 mark. It seemed to, everything just seemed to change again. You had two show bands in Dundalk. You had the Toronto show band, and they had the brass section. They were a super band. Tony Kane and Pat O'Hare and Noel Donnelly and John Flood and Paddy McGee. But they knocked out the brass and kept the rhythm section.
And then they could use
a group. They became a B group, known as Division 5, you see.
And what about the brass? Did they go anywhere?
No, the brass had to sit at home. There was no work for them. And you also had the Jimmy Shields show band. And they became the Heartbeat B group.
They used to play an awful lot in dinner dances.
But their rhythm section, John Clark, Pat O'Hapney, Joe Crilly, and Desi Dunn, and they became the Heartbeats. So they started coming.
And had just managers or anything like that? Any of group's managers?
Whoever wanted to be the manager, Harry, could be the manager. That was the way it was, you know. No, there's no managers. It was all a bit of fun, a bit of crack. And if you got a few pound, anyone was sort of, as you say, there was no drinking in the places, but there seemed to be drinking, you know, it's usual. But and generally speaking, and you never seen any rows.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. There wasn't, because you mentioned there about bouncers, they probably had to have a few bouncers.
Yeah, but a few bouncers. There was a few bouncers in the, there was a bouncer needed in the Magnet Club, because I think of the stairs, there had to be someone to keep the people safe. There was two bouncers in the Cavalier Club, you know. But I don't remember. I just remember club committee members being in the ranch.
So was there any of the groups, Patsy, that made it a way bigger in, like the way some of the show bands did in, like the Paragon 7 and them? But is there any of the groups from the club circuit that made it big?
Well, you see, you had groups in and around the Dublin area. We done a few places. We played a few places in Dublin. But you had the Vampires beat group, and they were a Dublin band. And Tony Kenny was their lead singer. So we all know who Tony Kenny is, you know. Yeah. He's he became huge. Yeah. You also had the Chosen Few. They were a beat group in Dublin. And in the Chosen Few was Fran O'Toole. You know, and
that's a story about Fran O'Toole, of course. Yeah. He was with the Miami, and he was shot dead.
He was murdered there, you know.
Yeah.
Another chap with him called Paul Ashford, he was with the Chosen Few, and he joined the Miami with Fran O'Toole. But he left the Miami before the Miami was murdered, you know. He had already left him, you know. And you had Des Lee and Stephen Travers, who were in the
so
band.
Did any of them play at all in any of the clubs? Any of them big names
mentioned? They didn't do Dundalk now. They didn't do Dundalk, but they were on the scene all around Dublin, like, you know. They done all the Dublin scenes.
Did it get much coverage on the media? I know there wasn't Facebook or anything like that, but was it popular within the music papers, or was it Musical Express?
Everybody knew. You didn't need Facebook. You didn't need. There was no telephones, so don't ask me how people knew where you were, because they just knew. Everybody just seemed to know.
You mentioned a few minutes ago there that you were wondering how you met up for your own group, and that's a very good point. Where you're just saying that there was no telephones. People hadn't telephones in their houses, and how people got together for rehearsals wherever, you know.
We often talk about it, me and Sean and the boys. Like it's funny, the five of us were still alive, you know. There could be a comeback, you wouldn't know, you know. But we often talk about it, and I'm trying to find out, how do we do it? There was no phones, so how did you just...
Yeah.
And how did you tell people when you were playing or where you weren't playing?
And did they have that? Did they put ads in the Democrats and that time?
A few ads in the papers, yeah. And there'd be a few ads in the Democrats. I think it was the Democrats was going, yeah, Democrat in the August.
Was it a sad time for people when they had to close the clubs? I mean, you take Owen, and he had that club, and it must have been very sad when it finished that they had to close it down completely.
Yeah, it was. But then you see, as I said, the pubs started coming on, the singing lounges started coming in, so everybody just started moving to the singing lounges.
And did all of these groups
the groups are starting in then playing in the pubs then, you know.
All the groups.
Yeah, they all start just doing playing in the pubs. You know, and when you go back there to the Cavalier Club, it changed its name a few times. It became the Afton Club, then it became the Riverside Beat Club, then it became the Banana Club.
Was that the last name?
That was the last name, yeah.
I remember that name more so than anything.
Well, that's when the likes of Phil Linnett and the boys, they were coming in round that Banana Time Club, you know. That's when it was going to be.
And was the two fellas that owned it, were they still involved right up until the very end?
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, they were there for a long time, yeah. They were there for a long time.
And Patsy, over the years, one thing I've noticed about groups, that they all kept together very much as friends. I'm not even talking about the members of one group, but all the groups.
Always, yeah. All, and to this day, they're still all great buddies. They meet up regular too. I often see them doing fundraising nights, and you see the boys all in there. You have Larry O'Hagan and Tony O'Hagan, still the boys who work the JDs, and you had Paddy Hayes, Sean Sullivan, Brian Doyle, Sammy Dixon, they were the Obs.
All of these people.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. Charlie Donnelly, Brian Cosgrove, the McAvoy brothers, the firing squad.
I never played an instrument to meet out, but knowing an awful lot, and you kind of a language beef. They call each other heads and everything, don't they?
Heads.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's still around anyway.
Still use that?
Yeah, it's still around. Heads. Where's the heads? You know.
I often wondered, where did they get these names? Yeah. Like, somebody must have made it up.
Oh, yeah, just the heads and, you know, it's just like people say the heads, and people say, in those days, what'd you drink? Well, we drank Coke, but you couldn't say that today. But, you know, that's just the way it was, Harry.
Do you look back on those years, Patsy, or... You of course became then with the Fortunes, and you're still going up until a couple of years ago. And did you got involved playing in the pubs? Did an awful lot of the other groups do it as well?
Yeah, they were all out of Harry. Yeah, there was they were all doing it. There was nowhere else to go. And then some pubs wouldn't have the music, you know, and. That was just the way it was. It was just into the music. And then the disco scene came, and then...
Everything go churned.
Look at the pub scene now. So the pub scene's gone now, you know. So, there's nobody plays in the pubs anymore, you know. So it's a whole circle, you know.
I'm sure when you're sitting on your own here at night or wherever, you would be thinking about all of those different...
Yeah, well, we had... You know, when you go back and... I look back on... our days, and I look at today, and what the kids today will say, they're having a great time, but I really think that we had the best time. Maybe I'm wrong.
Does every generation thinks that, though?
Have the best time, yeah. But I just say to the young people today, when you see, we had the best time because we were the first people on the moon, you know, so we had the best times, you know. But that was just the way it was. We had the Beatles, who really changed the music.
The Beatles, they changed everything, didn't they? You know, before and after and when they were actually playing.
Like they changed not only music, they changed hairstyle, they changed footwear, they changed everything, you know. And they changed as the years went on. They even changed their own style. You know,
do you think then I was I born too late, too early? I just missed it, didn't I?
Yeah, you just missed it. You were a few years too early. Yeah.
I would have loved the Afton Club and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'd be right up my street. Yeah, you would have loved
that, Harry. It was great times. I don't believe any damn gays ever fell out with each other. I don't believe it. I don't think there's ever a row with any of them, you know.
Great times.
Great stories.
Thanks very much indeed, Patsy.
Listen to the full interview on www.gatheringheritage.com.